Some people claim to have all the answers. Of course, many of them are history. Leaders today seem to have an endless list of questions, competition, new technology, budget constraints, and a myriad of daily changes create new questions.
Our W3W3 listeners have many of the same concerns John Stefanis has been addressing on the World Wide Web radio show. This is part three of the series, Answers to Frequently Asked Questions by CEOs and CIOs.
Yes, and our W3W3 content partner today is John Stefanis of Cisco Systems and author of that best-selling book, Net Ready. John's rich history has taken him around the world and includes a who's who list of major clients.
John, we have had many people waiting to hear this segment. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Pat and Larry.
Let's pick up with a tough two-part question. We hear this frequently. What technology has to be in place today, and what questions should I be asking?
That is probably, I hate to say it, but most executive management really aren't quite sure what it is that they're putting in place or what they're spending the money for. And I guess you could take it on several different levels, and the most difficult question is why you keep talking to me about why I need to be able to communicate not only internally within the company but externally, and what does that really mean? Well, you need all this thing called networks and network infrastructure, and then that gets down to, well, like what questions do I ask? Well, part of the question would be, do you really have the need to actually communicate with other manufacturers, vendors, partners, whomever, on the external world? And if you do, how do you go about doing that? And the notion that doing it by fax or by phone is okay, but it just isn't applicable or isn't as valid today as it was years ago because of the speed with which business is done.
And now, John, is this in part where the intranet comes into place?
Yes, it is. And that usually we'll try to recommend to a client, start off by having an intranet first, which is putting the physical wires and pipes in place to actually be able to connect individuals within the organization and just contain it within the organization. And I try to keep, many of us who are in the trade try to keep the discussion well above, well, this is a router and that's a switch and this is, T1 line or what have you, because they don't understand it and I don't understand it.
Yeah. Just, yeah. And most of them don't.
You need a certain amount of wiring in the enterprise in order to go ahead and communicate. And by the way, think of it as a water pipe, and the bigger the water pipe, the more water you have going through there. And when you have that, basically you have literally the water gets to the end user faster and with higher pressure, and that's good for everybody. So that's where we try to make the analogy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a good analogy. Now, this is probably a discussion for another program in the future, but legacy systems also get involved here, don't they?
Yes, they do, and part of it is, well, why can't we just start from brand new and rebuild everything? Larry, and Pat, that is a very, very difficult thing. And the best way I've heard it described is it's very difficult to overcome the embedded infrastructure. And part of that is physical legacy systems. Part of that is culture. It's the equivalent of saying rip out every piece of telephone wire we have in this country and put in cellular phone technology. It's almost impossible to move it that way. You have to either coexist with it, find a way around it, leverage off of it, or find a way to actually incorporate these many of these different kinds of technologies. And with legacy systems, the cost involved in trading or changing over a legacy system is absolutely horrendous, let alone, quite frankly, many of the people who wrote the systems are no longer, they're retired. Look at it that way.
I was just thinking my father was one of those people who laid lines over the Rocky Mountains, and he was born in 1908, so some of this stuff really does go back.
It's almost a century old, and it's very difficult to pull it out and replace it. It's just a massively complicated and expensive proposition.
John, everybody wants to know the answer to this one, and I'm sure there are many possibilities. What are some of the really innovative companies doing today?
I'll give you literally at least my view of this, and the two things I look at are companies that are very, very small. They're barely like 1 or 2 years old, and they're trying to be successful. They're highly innovative, and the reason is that they don't have the resources either in terms of talent or in dollars to really pour a lot of money into a project or to having an idea that is, I should put it differently, not an idea, but they cannot fight a conventional war of, you know, I have a marketing dollar, you have a marketing dollar. So they tend to be very innovative in a way that they use their technology and how they apply it to their business. And they do that because they are shy resources. The other end of the spectrum are huge corporations that have more money and resources than they probably know what to do with. And so they could afford to experiment. We had talked about rational experimentation.
Oh, yes.
To throw bodies and money at a project without worrying about a return on investment. Or let's see if this thing flies. It's the companies in between those two that basically do not innovate because they're stuck in the middle. And what I always recommend to a client, if you want to really be innovative and see what's going on, take a look at the following sectors: logistics and transportation, media and entertainment, and take a look at those companies that produce video games.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And by the way, those of you listeners who haven't really tuned into the chapter where John talks and writes about rational experimentation, that is an excellent chapter on innovation.
What I recommend to, again, you know, I do a lot of work in the energy sector. What I recommend to my clients is, you know, take a look at the following four or five companies, and they're startups usually, but they've been in business for about 3 years, less than five definitely, and their gross revenues are probably somewhere between $10 and $50 million, and they normally all have a website, and they all primarily conduct business online. I said, check out their websites, go there, see what they're doing, see how they're doing it, and you'll pick up a dynamite set of ideas, because they have to be creative to stay in business.
That's a great idea.
John, this is a complex question. Both CEOs and CIOs are asking, what is my competitive position, and where exactly am I on the road to establishing my competitive position?
Boy, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it's like asking, do you think my baby's cute?
Yeah, very good.
Of course. Well, yes, of course. A lot of companies will ask that because I think their major concern is, one of which is curiosity to see how they rank against their peer group, and the other one is the very interesting and very subtle way of that they're trying to find information, that is, am I spending too much money?
Mm-hmm.
Am I that far ahead that I'm spending money without that much incremental return compared to my competition? Or am I that far behind, or at least at parity, that I need to be spending more? So, what, you know, a lot of companies will come to us and say, look, you get around the block a lot. You're in consulting. You deal with a lot of companies. Without going into the details of their strategy or how they operationalize things, where do we stand in terms of supply chain management or in terms of customer care or in terms of, you know, HR or human resources? And we could give them a fairly interesting readout in terms of, well, in certain areas you're very good at this, but I tell you, you have two other competitors that are either way out there and you haven't noticed them, and or they're about to go out there and you better be careful because they're doing these types of activities. So it's part of it is judgment, and part of it is just experience of dealing with a lot of companies, but they're asking the questions for very valid reasons. Am I spending too much or not enough? And how do I, if I'm behind, how to go ahead and actually come up the curve more rapidly so that catching up, or if not leapfrogging them. When a company asks us about what is my competitive position, this is one of those, you know, sometimes you just have to face the truth and say, compared to other companies that we've dealt with in your sector, here are the things that don't make you very competitive.
Say, John, when you said in your sector, does that mean that you don't really compare to other sectors? Or do you just hone in just on your field? Or
I try to compare them to their field.
Okay.
As a base of reference, only because they could associate with that. They know who their competitors are.
Right. Okay, good.
So if I'm dealing with, you know, like a Shell, they'll tell you, well, what is BP doing or ExxonMobil doing or Chevron Texaco? Where are we in terms of e-learning in comparison to them? So they at least have a benchmark in their own mind mentally to figure out, well, I know what they do because we're in the same business. What are they doing differently? Where are we in comparison to them? So that's usually the key thing. Then the second question they ask is, okay, then, if I'm behind, what are the best companies doing? Forget about energy.
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing in retail? What are they doing in, you know, manufacturing? Is anybody out there who is really stellar in, for example, e-learning?
All right.
So you set the baseline by where they are in terms of their competitors, and then the follow-on question being, well, okay, if that's the case, who is the best out there, and can we, A, do we want to, and B, can we even achieve that? The other part is, where am I on the road to my I, you know, establishing my position, one of the things that we'll, you know, discuss with the client is, well, let's take a look at what you're trying to do as a business. What are your goals? What are you trying to achieve? What's really important to you? And we'll try to map against that the key or critical business functions that actually drive the business that will support where they're trying to go, and we'll dissect them. We'll take, like, finance and saying, well, there are 15 different things you do in finance. You do cash management and treasury. You have receivables and payables and all those neat things. Let's take a look at each one of those processes and see how well you're doing in comparison to your competition, but also in comparison to, for example, best of breed, which may be GE Capital.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That leads them down to a very operational level once you get past the notion about where am I, where's the competition, who's the best, and how do I get there.
Best of breed, best of practices. That could be a good show in the future.
Oh yeah, it's interesting in terms of, you know, how do you define a best of breed?
Mm-hmm. That's, yeah, my baby's cute.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow, John, I think another topic you just brought up. You mentioned e-learning. I would love to have a program just on that sometime down the road.
Oh, that is a fascinating one in terms of the companies that we've dealt with and where they're trying to go with that, and how e-learning, quite frankly, was a precursor to knowledge management.
Oh, a precursor to. That is interesting. Well, John, I'll tell you what, we've got a bunch to cover, I know, and once again, you have challenged us with a number of ideas, and we know every organization has its little own unique set of circumstances, but you've got that little unique way to explain some core principles and ideas that we should all apply.
It would be great if we could tackle another tough topic next week, assessing a company's internet capabilities. That sounds like the next step after Net Ready. Are you game?
Are you ready for that one, John?
I think I might be ready by next week, yes.
Okay, sounds good. Well, until then, this is Larry and Pat Nelson on the World Wide Web Radio Show. Check out our other learning channels on W3W3.com.